Reinforcements are on the way as the New Orleans Saints are finally getting healthier. How turnovers play such a large role in the Saints' success away from the Caesars Superdome, and the three keys that you need to know in order for the New Orleans Saints to pull off another win at the Seattle Seahawks. We got all that and a little bit of land yap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we're here with you and available free on all platforms, including on YouTube as well. I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter, Canal Street Chronicles, Locked On NFL. And here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. And on Locked On Saints, here we are. We are back. No more pre-recorded episodes, anything like that. So thanks to all of you who have continued to support the channel while I was away for the wedding. Support everything that has been going on. I appreciate you. And thanks so much for all the kind words as well, those of you that took the time to reach out. But now we've got football to look ahead to after the bye week, the New Orleans Saints heading to the Pacific Northwest to take on the Seattle Seahawks. And a big key to their success in Seattle is going to be their health. And right now, the New Orleans Saints on the verge of being healthier than we've seen them all season. Let's take a look at how healthy the New Orleans Saints are starting to get before we take a look at the players that returned to practice this week. So let's go ahead and remind ourselves of the injured reserve rules here before we take a look at who returned to practice on Thursday, because there is some context that needs to be had. Now remember, the minimum amount of games that you must miss if you are put on injured reserve is 3 games. After that, once you're activated or designated to return, it's a practice process. You're able to come back to practice for 21 days without counting against the active roster. Once you're designated to return, it doesn't mean that you're going back to the active roster. It doesn't mean that you'll be available to play the very next game. Now, it might, but it doesn't immediately mean that until a player is actually activated back onto the active roster. So what generally happens is that a player is designated to return from injured reserve, returns to practice, the team gets a good look at that player, and then decides, are we going to elevate them up to the active roster, have them ready to go this week, or are we going to let them practice a little bit more since they have 21 days to do so? Now, if a team goes 21 days without moving a player to the active roster, they would then send him back to injured reserve and he would stay on injured reserve throughout the entire season. I don't see that happening with any of these players, but something to keep in mind that it doesn't necessarily mean that a player is going to be available immediately. They might take a little bit of time within the practice, that 21-day practice window, that 3-week practice window, to, you know, get some things back under the belt. You could certainly expect this with Michael Thomas. We've already seen it start with Will Lutz, and I think you might see it with a couple of these other players as well. So now let's take a look at the players that did return to practice on Thursday. Now, two of them not on injured reserve, but were on the active roster already. They had not practiced in multiple weeks. Great to see them back at practice on Thursday, albeit at a limited capacity. Starting center, Eric McCoy, and then, of course, starting left tackle, Teron Armstead. Now, in a road game against Seattle, where the run game is going to be such an important aspect, it would be great to have both of these players back on the line of scrimmage for the New Orleans Saints. And, of course, it'd be great to have all five of their players back in their natural positions. I don't expect that you're going to have Eric McCoy not practice for 5 weeks and then throw him into a new position at right guard and keep Cesar Ruiz at center. Would make the most sense to move Cesar Ruiz back to right guard where he practiced all offseason and get Eric McCoy back into the position that he has played so well for you since he was drafted just a couple of years ago. Teron Armstead, getting him back at left tackle, would of course help in the run game as well, would help you in your screen game to get some of these mobile guys back. Remember Eric McCoy all the way down the field on the big catch and run touchdown by Alvin Kamara against the Packers last year. That's the type of athleticism that you get back when you get back players like Teron Armstead and Eric McCoy in the screen game and in the short passing game when you're talking about yards after catch, which was a big focus for Jameis Winston over the course of the bye week as per his text message exchanges with Sean Payton. Now, when we take a look at the other players that returned coming off of injured reserve, and again, that doesn't mean that these players are going to be available against the Seattle Seahawks, though it would be great if they were, and it is certainly possible. We can't say for sure until they're actually activated to the active roster. Over on the defensive side, Marcus Davenport, Quan Alexander, Chase Hansen, Ken Crawley, all great players to get back. Marcus Davenport, Quan Alexander bring you a very clear boost to the first and second levels of your defense, even if you're rotating either of those players with the talented youth that's also around them. And then, of course, guys like Ken Crawley, Chase Hansen give you great depth as well as great special teams play. And then you can take a look over in the offensive side where you've got Tre'Quan Smith, wide receiver, as well as tight end Nick Vannett. Now, we know the Saints have been dealing with some issues at the wide receiver position. Your leading wide receiver so far this season has been Deontay Harris in terms of yardage. He's getting the big deep shots down the field, all of that. But as of right now, he might potentially be out against the Seattle Seahawks. And he played such a huge role in the Saints last time that they went and visited Seattle. So you'd love to have Deontay Harris back, but he, as well as Taysom Hill and a few other players, did not participate in practice on Thursday. So very, very important to keep that in mind when you've got Deontay Harris not able to participate in practice after he injured his hamstring against the Washington football team. You've got Chris Hogan, who missed on Thursday due to personal reasons, not at all injury related, but we'll see at what point he's able to return to the team. Getting Tre'Quan Smith back against Seattle would be huge for New Orleans, just to have another body there, but also to have probably the wide receiver right now that has spent the most time in that New Orleans Saints system, aside from Michael Thomas, who's not expected to be back and ready for this game. He's expected to take a couple more weeks himself before coming off of the physically unable to perform list. Other players that weren't spotted at practice on Thursday and did not participate include Chris Hogan and then Deontay Harris and Taysom Hill, who we've already mentioned, as well as defensive tackle Malcolm Roach and running back Dwayne Washington. Now, remember, the Saints are already dealing with injuries at the running back spot with Tony Jones Jr. set to miss multiple games. They went out, they brought back Divine Azigbo during that Washington football team game. You had the injury to Dwayne Washington. The Saints went out and signed Lamar Miller, former Pro Bowl running back, to add him to the mix and have apparently made some initial inquiries about Colts running back Marlon Mack, who I think would be phenomenal in the New Orleans Saints system as an easy sort of Alvin Kamara clone in a way, who can do a little bit of everything for you along with Alvin Kamara. I think he'd be fantastic in this system. Something to keep an eye out on as a trade deadline gets closer and closer. Although I don't really ever hold my breath when it comes to this franchise making moves at the trade deadline. They don't do that very often, although we did see them do it with Kwon Alexander last year. So either Kwon Alexander is an anomaly or the tide has turned and the New Orleans Saints are willing to go out there and go shopping at trade deadline time. So we'll see what happens there. But bottom line, the New Orleans Saints, they're getting healthier. They're getting pieces back. Whether they come back against Seattle or over the course of the next couple of weeks, they'll obviously be a huge benefit, but you'd love to see them make that trip back to the Pacific Northwest with the New Orleans Saints, of course. I mean, especially guys like Marcus Davenport, Tre'Quan Smith, Kwon Alexander, and maybe even Will Lutz, although we know he's going to take a little bit more time, but wouldn't it be nice to have a trustworthy kicker in New Orleans again? So as the New Orleans Saints continue to get healthier, fingers crossed, over the course of the rest of this week, that's only one big key to their success up against the Seattle Seahawks on Monday Night Football. The Saints have put themselves in a very favorable position going on the road here over the last few seasons. We'll talk about a longest active streak that has helped with that, and we'll talk about what takeaways have to do with it as well. Now, in addition to being favorable on the road, the Saints are favored on the road going into this one, -5 in this matchup. Again, Monday Night Football in Seattle. So if you want to get in on that action at all, you can check out our friends over at betonline.ag. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I got a promo code for you. Promo code Locked On. LOCKEDON is going to give you a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. So if you're a new customer, sign up, use that promo code. You put down, let's say, an initial deposit of $100, to give you another 50 right on top of it. So why would you want to go and sign up at betonline.ag? Well, there's that 5-point spread that I was just talking about that the Saints are favored by. With you feel good about it, you feel bad about it. You know how I feel when the Saints are road favorites. Never like it, but hey, maybe you do. But if that's not your thing, you can take a look at game props as well. You feel like the Seattle Seahawks are going to score 2 touchdowns? Great. Plus 195 on those odds. You think the Saints can hold them to just one exact touchdown? Plus 200 on those odds. How about longest field goal, 44.5 yards over or under? Whether or not a timeout is going to be called in the first six, or which team is going to call the first timeout? Who's going to score within the first 6 minutes? Will a team score in the first 6 minutes? Those are the kinds of things they have for you over at betonline.ag. And that's just the New Orleans Saints and Seattle Seahawks game. You have that for every game across the NFL. More player props on the way as the games get closer. The NBA, the MLB, UFC, and MMA as well. It is endless what you've got over at betonline.ag. Even your favorite casino games are there as well. So go and check them out. It's the fastest and easiest place to place all of your bets. Make yourself some money over at betonline.ag, where the game starts. right, y'all. Thank you once again for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day, every day. And a big thank you to all of you once again who have continued to support the show. Those of you that have sent your well wishes and good vibes and everything around the wedding, I very, very much appreciate it. And for those of you that are new to the show, welcome, welcome, welcome. Make sure you subscribe, follow, you know, make sure you're keeping up to date with everything we got here for you, because we're releasing every Monday through Friday, sometimes on Saturday as well, to get you all the information you need to know about your New Orleans Saints. And speaking of those New Orleans Saints, they have a huge matchup on the road up against the Seattle Seahawks for Monday Night Football. So let's continue to break this down, because there's a really interesting sort of scenario that New Orleans Saints are already sort of in the midst of with their away performances, their performances away from the Caesars Superdome. And the fact of the matter is that if New Orleans Saints generate a takeaway, one takeaway, then they drastically increase their odds to win this game on the road against the Seattle Seahawks. Now, if you watched or listened to the Crossover Thursday episode, myself and Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks, which you should totally check out if you haven't already, great insight on the Seahawks from Corbin. But I made reference to the New Orleans Saints seemingly being better or performing better on the road than at home over the course of the last few seasons. And turns out record-wise, that's not true at all. The Saints are 26-9 away from home. They're 26-8 at home. But what is it about the New Orleans Saints that feels cleaner, feels more dominant on the road? Now, it could just be me letting the home playoff losses cloud my judgment a little bit in that moment, but there's still something about the way that the New Orleans Saints play and win on the road that feels specific and unique, and it's because it is. Listen to this. The New Orleans Saints have generated at least one turnover on the road in every single road game that they played so far since the 2018 Week 7 game. That means the Saints have generated at least one takeaway in 24 straight road games. That is the longest active streak in the NFL. Over those 24 games, the Saints 19-5 away from home. And remember, those are away games in which they've generated at least one takeaway. The next longest streak behind the Saints' 24 game streak is a 12 game streak, which is currently active by the Los Angeles Chargers. Half the amount of games as New Orleans Saints are sitting at right now since their sort of defensive rejuvenation in the 2017-2018 seasons. Now, let's talk a little bit about the context that has to be involved in this, because that doesn't simply mean that the Saints go on the road, generate a turnover, and they win. It's not, you know, correlation doesn't always equal causation in that way, but there is something about this pattern and about this trend, particularly when the Saints win the turnover differential, because again, you can generate takeaways, but if you're also giving the ball away, if you give the ball away more than you take the ball away, you're probably going to lose your game, right? The Saints, Sean Payton, they've always focused on turnover differential, and that's not any different on the road. The Saints 4-3 when they lose a turnover differential in games on the road when they also have a takeaway. So not the greatest, you know, out of those seven games, not the greatest record there, but when the Saints are getting those takeaways and they are winning that turnover differential, then they're a pretty dominant team on the road. And of course, that doesn't all come down to them not giving the ball away. It also means that if they're able to generate multiple turnovers as well, two or more. For instance, New Orleans Saints since 2017, 24-8 in away games where they generate one turnover, but 14-3 when they generate two or more. So they've been absolutely phenomenal in that area where they're able to walk away with these wins on the road by generating turnovers on the road. And this is important for this team and for this game coming up against the Seattle Seahawks, because we've seen Geno Smith over the course of his entire career. We've seen what he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Inopportune moments for those turnovers, yes, but still multiple turnovers in that game that ended up costing the Seattle Seahawks the game, right? Because they were driving, like they were close. They, you know, got it to overtime. They did everything that they needed to do. But then you had the fumble. You had, you know, interceptions earlier. You had interceptions in his first action in place of Russell Wilson the week before. So the Saints have to be able to take advantage of what has typically been an issue for Geno Smith with decision-making and those types of issues. If they can take advantage of that multiple times, that puts the Saints' win percentage out the roof when it comes to it, as long as they're protecting the ball as well. Just for record's sake, the Saints also 2-1 on the road when they don't generate any turnovers, when they don't generate any takeaways as well. So not terrible, but you'd love to be in that sort of 14-3 conversation more than anything else. So look for the Saints defense to be active in pursuing the ball, going after the ball, trying to strip the ball, all of that, and the cornerbacks to be pretty aggressive when it comes to potentially jumping some routes and trying to generate some interceptions as well. And this is a good quarterback and a good system to be able to do that against, especially if you can keep the ball off of the ground for Seattle. Now let's talk a little bit about the New Orleans Saints, who have also been fantastic off of the bye week as well. So if the Saints can go on the road, generate those turnovers, and they can keep a big streak going for themselves. The Saints right now 9-3 since 2009. In the first game following a bye week, that's tied for the best win percentage in the NFL during that span. So they've been absolutely phenomenal off of that. Sean Payton has a very specific way that he manages the bye week, making sure the players get rest, making sure that work is getting done, giving players individual assignments to work on, individualizing training in that way. He sent Jameis Winston, starting quarterback for the Saints, a list of things that he could work on over the course of the bye week, including, you know, better placement in short area passes to allow for more yards after catch instead of players having to jump for passes or, you know, reach outside of their frame or having to rotate opposite their momentum, things like that, that we've seen a little bit in the early goings this season that you love to see get cleaned up. But small things that they continue to pay attention to and their attention to detail about making sure that no player is ever good enough, right? That everyone is continuing to work. So bye weeks, no different for the New Orleans Saints. And the Saints have been phenomenal off of bye weeks, not just the game immediately off of the bye, but the next few games off of the bye as well. We were talking about turnovers just a moment ago. Let's take a look at where the Saints stand in terms of turnovers over the course of the next four games off of a bye week since 2017, averaging 7.5 turnovers cumulative in those four games since 2017 coming off the bye week. In those four games coming off the bye week, the Saints are also 15-1 since 2017. So this has been a big part to where they start to make that push within the middle of their season to get to the playoffs or to become a playoff competitive team. If the Saints were somehow able to win, let's just say, three out of the next four games, that puts them in a situation to where they're 6-3 going into the deeper stretch of the season. That's a really good place for them to be, particularly within this division that is still within grasp. And you've got two divisional games over these next four games as well, because coming off of the Seattle game, you host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home. Then you've got two straight road games against the division rival Falcons. And then, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles, where you lost last year. So important four-game stretch for the New Orleans Saints coming off of the bye week, which is an area of the schedule that they've proven to be very efficient and very successful in the recent past. Can they carry that over coming out of this year's bye week here in 2021? And it's kind of the polar opposite of the slow start New Orleans Saints, right? Since 2017, the Saints 17-8 in the first five games of the season over the course of, well, since 2017, including 2021. So big deal for the New Orleans Saints to, you know, have those kind of slow starts here, but then be able to pick back up and continue to move. And I don't know that the New Orleans Saints are really on a slow start at this point. 3-2 is pretty good out of your first five games, particularly in this division that, again, is still in reach. So, I mean, if you're able to carry on the tradition in terms of how successful you've been out of the bye week, certainly can't hurt. And you know what else can't hurt? A run game, a quick start, and of course, pressure on the opposing quarterback. We're going to talk about all of those elements of the game and why they are keys to the New Orleans Saints getting their victory against the Seattle Seahawks on Monday Night Football. We've got our keys to victory coming up for you as we continue on and wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. But my key to victory for you is, of course, Built Bars. Best tasting protein bars on the market. You got a bunch of stuff going on over at BuiltBar.com right now. You have the 9 flavors that are always there. You can grab yourself a sample box, for instance, and get 2 of each of those 9 flavors. But you can also go and check out their limited edition flavors right now. A blueberry muffin bar that's covered in 100% chocolate. Sounds absolutely incredible. I've got a box on the way right now coming from BuiltBar.com. Go ahead and get yourself a box as well. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, so you can get 15% off of your next order, whether it's your first order or your next over at BuiltBar.com. These blueberry bars, these blueberry muffin bars are going to be an absolute hit. I already know it. Only 6 grams of sugar, even though you're getting 17, 18 grams of protein and only around 140, 150 calories as well. So it's a great way to get your day started or keep your day going when you start to hit that midday slump a little bit. Let Built Bar help you out. Go and check them out. Best tasting protein bars on the market. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, family, we're wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with 3 keys to victory for New Orleans heading to Seattle for Monday Night Football. Usually when we do these, we do 3 on the offensive side, 3 on the defensive side. Since we have an extra day to preview this one because we'll have the game day preview on Monday, I decided to talk a little bit more about some of the specifics. That's why we hit the, you know, off the bye week, we hit the turnover differential, all of that. Now, Let's talk about how three keys to victory affect both the offense and the defense. We're going to start off with number one here, the run game. You have to have a successful one. New Orleans Saints have to have a successful run game so far. They've done it several times so far this season. Alvin Kamara has been very, very good so far this year. He's not racking up a ton of touchdowns. He's only got four of them, but he's over 500 total yards already on the year. He is and continues to be the Alvin Kamara that we thought and know that he is. So I think you have to lean on AK again. He had a phenomenal game against the Seattle Seahawks back a couple years ago when Teddy Bridgewater was under center. The first start for the New Orleans Saints after Drew Brees had his UCL injury a couple years ago. And we should remember, too, that there's a little bit of a difference here. And I know we're going to compare these two games a lot. We're going to talk about these two games a lot. But it was a very unique situation. The Saints really leaned on the run game and special teams because, A, special teams was popping in that game. Deontay Harris was outstanding. But also, it was their first immediate start the next week after not traveling home in between the Los Angeles Rams game where, you know, Drew's UCL tendon got busted. And then they went to starting with Teddy Bridgewater, the first game without Drew Brees in some time due to injury, and the first game with Teddy Bridgewater as your starter. So yeah, of course they leaned on the run game. Is that going to be the case in Seattle this time around? I think so, because of the fact that it's just the smart move to make, because that's the part of the game that travels. But you've got five games under the belt of a successful Jameis Winston so far, so it's not as if all of this has to come down to Alvin Kamara and the ground game. But you want to talk about maybe those short passes and everything that Jameis Winston is working on over the course of the bye week. There's a reason for that, because the Saints treat the short passing game as an extension of the run game. So expect Alvin Kamara to be very involved in this one, whether it's through the hands of Jameis Winston or through the hands of Jameis Winston, but in a handoff as opposed to a throw. And, you know, we'll keep an eye out on Taysom Hill, Deontay Harris, these other guys that had massive impacts and have had massive impacts for the Saints so far this season, as well as in their last game against Seattle. Hopefully one or both of them are able to play in this game, because they would both be massive assets that would also help you on the ground, because Deontay Harris can get involved with you there, but you've also got Taysom Hill who can get involved from under center there as well. Now, over on the defensive side, you want to limit the run game. Now, Chris Carson's going to be out for this one. He's on injured reserve. Alex Collins had a great game against Pittsburgh, but he's currently DNP on the practice report due to a groin injury, so he might not be available to go. Corbin seems to think that maybe Rashad Penny could be a player that they lean in on, but they've also got a stable of backs, and this has been one of the better run teams in the NFL over the course of the last few seasons with the Seattle Seahawks, who oftentimes have finished at the top of the league in rushing yards. So I think that if you can limit the run game for them, and if you can get the run game started for you, that's the first piece of the recipe for a successful day or a successful night in Seattle. Your second ingredient, I still think, is a quick start. I talked about it in a Crossover Thursday episode, but I want to get back to it here because it does give you the opportunity to impact both your offense and your defense. It impacts your offense because it helps to build some momentum. It helps to take the crowd out of this game because 12, that 12th man, they're extremely strong, and that stadium is built to amplify crowd noise, not pump in artificial crowd noise like the Atlanta Falcons. That's not what I'm talking about. But I mean that this stadium is literally built to reflect sound and amplify sound, the sound of crowd noise. So I think if you're able to get off to that quick start, it takes some momentum. It kind of sucks the energy out of the building early. Then you have to kind of keep that going and keep it sustained in order to keep that audience, that crowd out of it. Although they're still going to be very excited. They're still going to be heated, ready to go for this matchup. But if you can take a little bit of that momentum away, take a little bit of that energy away, you definitely should as quickly as possible. The other thing that an early start does is that it keeps the Seattle Seahawks from getting a ground game established. So it goes back to our first key. If you can get that early lead, that, you know, 10, 14, maybe even 17 point lead, more realistically a 9 or 10 point lead, it gives you the opportunity to force the Seattle Seahawks to go to the air earlier than maybe they intended. And because of that, you might be able to take advantage of some of those mistakes that Geno Smith is bound to make. Would love to see Marshawn Lattimore in this game without a cast on, because then maybe he walks away with some more of those interceptions. I know he's frustrated with that cast. He wants that off. But you've also got other great players who have done extremely well in generating turnovers, Marcus Williams. And then, of course, you've got Paulson Adebo. Be interested to see if maybe we see more Bradley Roby in this one. But Paulson Adebo is your former wide receiver. He's got good hands. He should be able to reel in some interceptions for you as well. So if you can force them to go to the air, keep them uncomfortable while doing it, then you have the ability to be able to generate some of those turnovers. So that sort of helps you with the turnover differential conversation that we were having earlier on in today's episode. And speaking of making the Seattle Seahawks go to the air, but keeping Geno Smith uncomfortable in doing so, you got to get pressure on the quarterback. You have to do it. And ideally hit him when the ball is still in his hands. I mean, the Saints right now have not been a successful team in terms of generating sacks. They've not been a successful team in terms of winning the winning at the line of scrimmage. Their pass rush win rate, one of the lowest in the NFL so far this season. Their sack total, one of the lowest in the NFL this season, if not the lowest now that you've had the bye week. So you have to be able to do this. You've got Dwayne Brown, who didn't practice. You've got Damian Lewis, who didn't practice. You have offensive linemen in Seattle that are still dealing with injuries. You have an offensive line in Seattle that has been historically terrible. And so you have to be able to take advantage of that. Now, getting Marcus Davenport back, health, all of that definitely factors in. But maybe it's Peyton Turner instead, right? Maybe it's the health for Peyton Turner, who has been had the great debut against the Carolina Panthers, but has been kind of battling injury on and off throughout the early parts of the season. Maybe it's just him feeling better that gives you that extra sort of rejuvenating factor. Remember, David Onyemata isn't back yet. He's not back yet. Yes, we've been through 6 weeks, but suspensions are counted by game, not by a week. So he has to serve this last game as his sixth game suspension. So he's not eligible to come back until next weekend, Halloween, up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So if you want to generate pressure, you're going to have to do it with the same guys that you've been trying to generate with over the course of the season. But hopefully getting Marcus Davenport back, hopefully having a healthier Peyton Turner who might be able to help wreak some havoc, and a Cam Jordan that might have found some way to flip a switch over the course of the offseason. Again, Cam Jordan's been close. He's, you know, up there in terms of pressure and in terms of quarterback hits and all of that, but he has no sacks so far on the season. Maybe we see our first, maybe a couple of his first sacks of the season up against the Seattle Seahawks. That would certainly help them a ton. And then pressure on the other side of the ball. If you can get guys back like Eric McCoy and Teron Armstead, well, then that helps you a ton in terms of protecting Jameis Winston and perhaps giving you some opportunities to take some shots downfield in the passing game. I've been talking about the run game this entire time, but this is the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL. Maybe you can get something going here or continue something going here up against this sort of streak of bad defenses that the Saints have been playing against. They got better in the over the or through the air against New York. They got better through the air against Washington football team. Can they do it again as they've gone kind of from 30th, 31st to now 32nd ranked defenses over the course of the last three games? Protecting Jameis Winston, giving him time, especially if you don't have Deontay Harris and you have Tre'Quan Smith potentially coming back for his first action of the season, you're going to need some time to be able to create separation and create some plays down the field. And the offensive line is going to have to buy that for Jameis Winston. And of course, be able to pave the way for another successful day for Alvin Kamara on the ground or through the passing game himself. So a ton of factors for the New Orleans Saints in this matchup. Absolutely no doubt about it. And we're not even done breaking it down yet. On Monday, Sunday night, we'll have another episode for you because that's going to be game day for these New Orleans Saints. So we'll continue to preview this one, get you all the information and updates that you need on the roster as well. Who's elevated from the practice squad, who has moved up and been activated from injured reserve, who's not going to be available. Still a lot of questions to answer for the New Orleans Saints before they get to this matchup. And we'll answer all of them for you on Monday. For a recap on Tuesday, do it all again next week. So I appreciate you as always for coming and checking out the show, making us your first listen of the day. For your second listen, make sure you check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. NFL analyst Brian Peacock, as well as former NFL scout Matt Williamson, get you covered with an inside analysis on everything going on across the NFL in less than 30 minutes every single Monday through Friday, just like we are here with your New Orleans Saints. As always, y'all, for everything in between every episode here on the show, you can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holler at you.